Good. It's good. So my request to you is this. Never forget what life was like without Jesus. Never forget. And remember, there's 100,000 people in our city that have no idea what that means. Just invite one person. Just invite one person to church. Give them an opportunity to have a community of faith. Give them an opportunity to have a community that will love them and care for them in a different kind of way, something they never could have really even dreamed of. And so I ask you on their behalf, please invite them. I can't invite them all by myself, and I invite a lot. But let me tell you, as you're inviting, Facebook doesn't count. All right? You're like, oh, I'll just invite everybody on Facebook right now. Please come to church with me on September 17th. It doesn't work that way because nobody follows you on Facebook, all right? And so, in case you didn't know that, it's most likely the truth. So really just invite somebody that you know that you're in a relationship with. Invite them. Maybe they used to come to church here and they've just kind of gotten out of the habit. Invite them back. Sometimes people think like we actually know that they were, like they're like gone for 2 weeks. They're like, oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry I haven't been in church the last 2 weeks. I secretly think to myself, I have no idea. I had no idea. Like, I thought they were in the first service or the third service. I really get lost on that. But I want you to know that there's no shame. You know, just you're always welcome back. It doesn't matter if it's been a year, 5 years, 10 years, 16 years, your whole life. You know, you're always welcome back. And so remember that as you're inviting. So please, everybody, invite at least one. I don't know if you know this, but diapers are deceptively cute. There's like a Mickey Mouse and a Minnie Mouse, and they're dancing and having fun. Like, you can get like Transformer diapers. You can get all kinds of diapers. It's awesome. You can get them. But the truth is that diapers are a work of the devil, and you know what I mean. So I had never changed a diaper on a human before my firstborn. Okay, when Kyla was about to be born, I was getting nervous. Like, I'm gonna have to change a diaper. And so I bought her a bear before she was born. It was this bear. And I practiced how to put a diaper on this bear, all right? And this is the diaper I practiced with. It's still there 16 years later. That's pretty impressive, right? But here's something that you know and I know. This is not what diapers look like after 16 years on a human, all right? After like a few minutes, diapers transform into something absolutely horrible. It's horrible, and something transformative takes place inside of them, and the most disgusting, horrible stuff comes out of your cute little child and into this diaper. It's disgusting poop is what's going on, and so I did not know this before I became a parent, but apparently in order to become a parent, they don't put this on the flyers or the advertisements for being a parent. One needs to become proficient at dealing with poop in order to be a good parent. I will freely admit to you, I was unprepared for the proportion of my conscious time and life that would be committed to dealing with poop. Poop had taken over parts of my life that I never thought it would. I would be on a date with my wife. Hi, honey. Did Kyla poop today? You know, like, how many times does she poop today? You know, I'm talking about poop all the time. Poop here, poop there, poop everywhere. Now, I suppose that with the birth of my first child, it was, in fact, preceded with the purchase of several things, such as a diaper bag, a diaper genie, a changing pad, wipes, antibacterial hand lotion, butt cream, and a whole lot of other poop handling chemicals and devices. I should have had some clue what I was in for. And all of those things were really cute, by the way. I must have just ignored the warning signs that life was about to become full of poo. Now, in life, we also have this interesting challenge. We have to learn how to deal with the poo in life. And I don't mean Winnie the Pooh. I mean the other kind of poo. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on the rock, on rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will fall with a mighty crash. In case you had not remembered, let me remind you today, storms will rage into your life. Hurricane Harvey's always just around the corner. No matter how much you wish another storm would not come into your life, that will not happen. A storm is always on the way. Now, you might have a break, you might have a few months, or you might even have a couple of years. But the reality is there's always another storm coming. And those storms of life have a way at pounding at the foundation of your life. And if your foundation is built on rock, it's going to be okay. And if it's built on sand, it won't. And so it hits the foundation of your life, your relationships with God, your relationship with your friends, your relationship with your spouse, the relationship with your kids, the relationship with your parents. And it just keeps coming, and it comes, and it comes. And you wish you could get a break. But guess what? You're not going to get a break. It's just going to keep coming. Because poop is always going to be there. Poop has a way of hitting the fan and splattering into your life when you never even asked for it to happen. You didn't even do anything and it's there. Like, how did it get here? Poop happens. Hashtag. Hashtag poop happens. Use my word, not your word. Use my word. It is inevitable. You can't dodge it. To live life simply means to deal with the poo-poo. That's what it means. Want to know the meaning of life? Deal with the poo-poo. That's one of them. God knew that the poo-poo of life would happen, and just like plumbing in a house, he meant for poo to be disposed of and flushed, not stirred up, passed around, and thrown around. Now, maybe the poo-poo analogy is too confusing for some of you. You just can't get by it. You're still in junior high. What am I talking about? The poo-poo of life. I'm talking about the bad decisions you make that are your own stinking fault. Or the bad decisions somebody else makes that have nothing to do with you whatsoever. I'm talking about financial collapse, failing health of your own body, failing health of a loved one, expected or unexpected tragedy, relational confusion, disappointment, betrayal, rebellion. I think you get the idea. Poo is everywhere. But what do you do with the poo? What do you do with it all? What are you supposed to do? Friends, you're supposed to do this. You're supposed to deal with it. You have to deal with it. You're not supposed to play with it. You're not supposed to admire it. You're not supposed to collect it. You're supposed to deal with it. Like walking along on a sidewalk, minding your own business, and suddenly realizing that you are carrying with you a rather unpleasant aroma from the bottom of your shoe. Because you stepped in something foul. You stepped in poo. Do you leave it there? Yeah. You do not leave it there, in case you did not know that, okay? You do not leave it there. Do you say, oh, it isn't too bad? No, you deal with the poo on your shoe. You find something to wipe the bottom of your shoe on, you know, you're the side of the sidewalk, the grass, I mean, anything you can find, and you're trying to get it off. Maybe you find a hose and you spray it off. But you deal with it. You get it off. You could, I suppose, also just lay down on the sidewalk and tell everybody going by that you stepped in poo and it's not fair and it isn't your fault. And it's going to cost you a lot of money to replace your shoes. Can I tell you a secret? Nobody really wants to listen to that. Really, they don't. Because everybody's got poo to deal with. And so, except for the other people that have given up and laid down on the sidewalk and are whining about the poo, nobody really wants to listen to that. Because you don't leave the poo there, you deal with it. And you've got to deal with it. Sometimes you deal with it on your own, and sometimes when it's super bad, you need somebody else to help you deal with it. Like those times you're like, you're doing one of these numbers, you know, trying to get to something. Sometimes you need a little extra help to deal with it. Now, we've been learning for the last several weeks about a guy named David who eventually became the king. And last week, after several weeks, he finally became the king. And it was just several weeks. It was annoying me that he wasn't king yet. He had to wait for 15 years to become the king. And so he finally becomes the king last Sunday in our story. And it turns out that David became one of the great kings of Israel, a man after God's own heart, Scripture says. He had great moments of victory, great, stellar moments of victory, but he also had some horrible moments of defeat and destruction. And David had a way of not only stepping in the poo of life sometimes he saw the poo, dove into it, and rolled around in it. And he got himself into a lot of trouble. 2 Samuel chapter 11 brings us up to the story. It says, then it happened in the spring. He'd been king for about 20-something years. Now he's about 50, 51, 52 years old, something in that ballpark. Kind of that moment in life when, you know, now, like in 2017, when you're in your 50s, it doesn't seem that old. But back then, 50 years old was like next to death. Like you were really old. Then it happened in the spring at that time when kings go out to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem. This was a problem. He was supposed to be out fighting. Now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. Doesn't seem like a problem. It's his house. He should be able to walk where he wants. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. Watch what he does next. And when the woman was very beautiful in appearance. You know what that means? That means he kept looking. It wasn't like, oh, there's somebody bathing over there. I'll go back downstairs. He didn't go back downstairs, friends, because he knew that that's the time when people would bathe. He was looking for trouble. Sometimes we like to pretend like we weren't looking for trouble. Like, oh, I can't believe what happened. Well, it happened because you put yourself in a place where you knew it was going to happen. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, "This is that not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent messengers and took her, and when she came to him, he lay with her, and when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. The woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, "I am pregnant." Oh, man. Now we got all kinds of problems. We got so many problems here. First off, I want you to catch this. David ignored his responsibilities. He was supposed to be with his army and he wasn't. Okay, he ignored his responsibilities. And when you start ignoring your responsibilities, you get yourself into trouble. There are things you are supposed to be doing that you are not. That's ignoring your responsibilities. Then he purposefully went looking. He purposefully, on purpose, of his own free will, chose to go upstairs when he knew he wasn't supposed to. He then committed adultery. She became pregnant. And the story goes on after this. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. He then brought her husband home from the battle. He tried to make it so that it would seem like her husband was really the parent. It didn't work out. So he got some other people involved in his plan, and he eventually had her husband killed. This is not a good plan. He didn't just step in some poo. Like he's just messing everything up. He's the king. Like the best king Israel's ever had or ever will have. He's a man after God's own heart. God had used him over and over again, and now he's jacking everything up. This is not good. But God had mercy on him and sent him a prophet. And the prophet comes and talks to him, sends him a message, and he calls David out. as a murdering adulterer. And what most kings would do in the Bible in this moment is they would have the prophet killed. It's like, you're bugging me, you're dead. All right? And so they'd have him killed. They would figure out a way to ignore it, get around it. They would try to do something. But David did something that I want us to hear very carefully. David listened. It broke his heart. And he repented. He changed his course. He truly turned around and went in the opposite direction. And I think that's a really important thing for us to understand about David, was that even though he messed up, and sometimes he messed up really bad, when he was confronted, when God helped him to understand his failings, he turned around and he went in the right direction. There was something soft about the heart of David. There was something sensitive about David's heart that made him want to do the right thing. And so whatever your situation in life is today, whatever your problems that other people have brought to you, whatever your own personal stuff, your own personal sin, whatever the yuck of life has dealt into your life, whatever has happened, I want you to get this. You can't just sweep it under the rug and hope it goes away. You can't just pretend like, oh man, I got a bunch of problems, I'm just going to ignore them and it's going to be fine. Everybody in the room understands, if I got junk, I have to deal with it or it gets worse. If you've got issues with your kids, for example, you've got to deal with those issues. It's not like it just gets better. It's like, oh, I'll just wait 5 years and then deal with it. Nope, it just got worse during that 5 years. You've got to deal with it. If you've got financial trouble, you just can't take your credit cards, max out your credit cards, and expect all your financial problems just to magically go away. If your marriage is, blah, but you won't do what needs to be done in order to fix the issues, guess what? It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. We were at our annual staff planning retreat where we planned all of 2018 for the church calendar. And one of the things we were talking about was how to help in the area of marriage. And so we began to think through and a lot of things. And we came to kind of one basic core idea that we're going to run with this year. And I contacted some other mentors of mine, and they are on the same page with this. And it turns out that one of the critical factors in helping marriages stay strong or have the opportunity to get stronger is simply going on a date each week. It's like, oh, that doesn't seem that complicated. Well, ask any married couple how hard it is to go out on a date each week. Apparently, it's really difficult. But it's the one single thing that makes a real difference. So we're going to be talking about that in the weeks ahead as well. But a lot of us, when we face a challenge, when we face a difficult moment, when we've stepped in the poo of life, instead of dealing with it, we want to pull the sheets over our head and just wish the problem would go away. It's like, if I just ignore it, it'll go away. If I don't return a phone call, if I don't return an email, if I don't answer the door, this is all just going to go away. If I sleep in a little bit longer. But truth is, it will not go away. Poo-poo don't go away on its own. All right? Tell your neighbor that right now. Poo-poo don't go away on its own. All right? It doesn't. I know it. You know it. Everybody else knows it. You've got to deal with it. Like the time when I was a kid, and I'll pretend like I was a really young kid for this story. Like the time I was a kid and I stuck a paper wad up my nose, but I pushed it a little too far in, and I couldn't get it back out. I couldn't see it. I couldn't find it. I wonder where it went. It didn't bother me anymore. And so I just ignored it. Paper wad up my nose. Well, 3 days go by, and my nose started to run like I had a cold. But it did more than that. It it actually got infected, and my parents began to notice that I seemed a little smelly, like I smelled like a dead person. And so they're like, what is that horrible smell in the house? I can remember this conversation between my parents. And they're smelling, and the two of them, they eventually like zone in, and it's me. And it's like, they're smelling my face, right? You know, they're looking in my mouth to see if I have rotting teeth or something. Eventually, they figure out that something is going on with my nose, my nasal cavity. I'm a mess up there. We were broke, and they thought I was sick, dying. They didn't know what was going on, so they pulled me up onto their lap. And I can remember this moment where my parents laid hands on me, on my head, and they began to pray for me. Like, they did not know what was wrong. And when my parents started to pray, they pray for real. They're not pretend prayers. They're real praying people. And so they started to pray. Now, I don't remember all the rest of that story, but I do remember this. I got up off their lap, and I went into the other room. And as I'm walking to the other room, my head gets a little spinny, and I feel like I'm going to sneeze. And finally, I let out the biggest sneeze you've heard in your life. And out shooting out of my nose comes this giant, nasty, decaying paper wad. Just boom, right out there. Just awesome. It was a great. And boom, I was all better after that. You know, that was great. It was great. So what's the point? If you're going to put paper wads up your nose, don't put it up too far. Okay, first point. That's the first point. The second point, probably more important, is this. When you ignore problems, they just get worse. When you ignore problems, they just get worse. You have to deal with the poo. You have to. So what do? We're not going to go into like 20 steps on what to do today, but we will get into some of these next week as well and the weeks after. But one of the things you do is this. In Luke chapter 8, verse 22, one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and started out. On the way across, Jesus lay down for a nap. And while he was sleeping, the wind began to rise. A fierce storm developed that threatened to swamp them, and they were in real danger. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown!" So Jesus rebuked the wind and the raging waves, the storm stopped, and all was calm. Very, very simple. He rebuked it and it all stopped. So the story goes on and Jesus corrects them about a couple of things. But the part of the story that I think is really profound is that when they were in trouble, the first thing they did was ask Jesus for help. I mean, they were in trouble. They were in real trouble. They thought their lives were at risk, and the first thing they did was they asked Jesus for help. Now remember, they didn't cause this problem. They didn't cause the storm. They didn't do anything that caused this storm. The storm just came. The poo of life just happened. The first thing they did was they turned to Jesus. And I think that is a tremendous lesson for us. When a storm happens, when you step in the poo of life, make it a practice to first turn to Jesus. Even if you're responsible, even if you're responsible for your own mess, don't be embarrassed. He already knows. If you become more concerned about what people think than what God thinks, you will never, ever really deal with your poo. Now back to King David. After he is confronted about his own sin, he does something remarkable as the worship team comes. David repents. He even prays a prayer. That's part of repentance. He prays a prayer, and the prayer gets written down. And the prayer gets written down, and he would sing this prayer. And now just imagine this. Imagine if every time that you repented, you and God, like the darkest moment of your life, and this was one of them for David, the darkest moment of your life, you're truly repentant. Imagine if it immediately goes viral, your prayer of repentance. Now, what's fascinating about this, that's functionally what's happened here. For 3,000 years, people have been reading and singing David's prayer of repentance about this adulterous and murdering situation he got himself into. He writes this, and if you've ever wondered how to repent, if you've ever wondered how to authentically apologize and have your heart turned towards God, if you've ever wondered, how do I really do that? You know, because it's not just enough to say, I'm sorry. It's bigger than that. It's more than that. David says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my shameful deeds. They haunt me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the heart, so you can teach me to be wise in my inmost being. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Give me back joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me again the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to sinners and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God, who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that I may praise you. When David prayed this prayer, you could feel the authenticity of what it means to repent, to deal with whatever life has tossed your way. Not just pretend like it's not there. To not just kind of keep on going, but to deal with it. To do what you need to do, whatever it takes. And the first step is always turn to Jesus. David turned to God here in this moment. We get to turn to God every day through Jesus. It's an amazing, amazing privilege and opportunity that we have. Deal with whatever life brings us. Would you stand with me as we close? The worship team will close us in this song, and as they do, maybe there's something that you want to deal with God. Maybe there's something you need to bring to Him to let Him deal with. Maybe there's something that God is trying to do and speak to you on the inside. As we sing this song, let's take the opportunity. So the altars are open if you'd like to come and pray.
Father, today, as David once said, I recognize my shameful deeds. So we pray like David prayed. Purify me from my sins. Wash me. Give me back the joy of create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Make me willing to obey you. Father, thank you that no matter what chaos has ensued in our life, the stuff that came at us that had nothing to do with us, and the stuff that we brought on our own. Thank you that when we come to you, you help us to deal with it. You help to make us whole. You help to make us healthy. You help to make us right before you so that we can walk in freedom, so that we can walk in victory and with an assurance that no matter what, we're not alone. You're always there with us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you all as you go out this week. And please remember to pray for Patrick and his family each and every day this week.